Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I wanna hear her say,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time, one time.
Ooh, I just wanna hear her say,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time.
All I wanna do is you say it
one time.
Write my name in the book, call me
one time.
That's all I really need, just
one time.
I can't wait till I see ya
one time.
Gift, gon' have it back. You fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally start breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold Street, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when I get, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace. Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pray you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
Most High God, well done, well done, well done. Just want to hear God say those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome you all to Bible study. We're still studying the series of strongholds, you all. And welcome, Sister Dillon, Sister Northern, Sister Green, my faithful few. Amen. And everybody else is chiming in right now that's coming in. Now, some people are running a little behind, but welcome. Remember, Bible study, the line is open so that we can hear and we can communicate back and forth. Again, welcome, everybody. How you doing?
Amen. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes,
amen. We'll just go right into prayer. We're going to prayer at this time as we prepare for Bible study, asking God for revelation, knowledge, and wisdom and understanding of what God is doing even in this Bible study. So, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, Lord God, that you allowed us to come together, Father God, to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, trusting you with all things, Father God. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the life, health, and strength of your daughters, Connie and Carol and Angela and all of whom is in prayer. I mean, in Bible study this day and this hour, Father God. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you move in a mighty way, Father God. Oh, Lord, touch every heart and mind. Lord, open up our understanding right now to receive all that you have for us to receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you, oh God. Oh, Lord, for counting us worthy to be here another day, Father God, in the land of the living. And we just want to say thank you. Lord, we can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do, even right now in this Bible study, Lord God, as we come against every strong man and stronghold and pulling down strongholds, Lord God, so that we can be finally set free and live the life that you have called us to live, Father God, whole and complete, healed, delivered, and set free, blessed and favored in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we just want to say thank you, Father God, for the word of God is very clear on asking for wisdom. So we come asking for wisdom right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, for revelation and knowledge, oh God, as we study your word, oh God, for we know your word is true. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for the life, health, and strength of our pastor, Doris St. Manning. We pray his strength on tonight. We pray, oh God, that you would continue to pour into him, guide him, and keep him, oh God, and refresh the anointing that's on his life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you be our strength right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every hindering spirit, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of doubt, every spirit of rebellion and stubbornness. We come against you right now with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we command you to come out right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every jealous spirit right now that's operating on the line with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command you to come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We call on every spirit right now, every spirit of strife and anger and bitterness and resentment that is operating in us and about us right now, and we command you to come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and to go with Jesus in you right now. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, right now that you have delivered us, Lord. And we ask you, Father God, to release your warring angels in the heaven, Lord God, to war against any spirit in the heavens that's trying to block our prayers and our answers to our prayers right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word gives us knowledge, instruction, wisdom, and understanding to all who pay attention to its truth. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that you promised to impart wisdom into us. And if we will listen to your words and attain unto your wise counsel, and we thank you, Father God, that therefore we enter into your presence right now with trust and knowing that you will give us wisdom according to 2 Chronicles 1:10. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to fill us right now with the spirit of wisdom so that we will be able to discern your will right now in the name of Jesus Christ. With you, Lord, there is both strength and wisdom according to Job 12:13, and we thank you. Heavenly Father, let our mouths speak your wisdom, Lord God. Lord, because of your righteousness, you have imparted it to us according to Psalm 37:30. And in the hidden part of our life, Lord God, make us to know your wisdom according to Psalm 51:6. Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom according to Psalm 90:12. Heavenly Father, your wisdom and your knowledge makes us happy because the gain of it is better than fine gold, and we thank you. Father, wisdom you found in the earth, Lord God. God, and by knowledge, you establish the heavens according to Proverbs 3:13-20. And we thank you, Lord. Christ Jesus, we thank you right now that that our eyes of your understanding are continually being in light right now, that we may know your calling and the riches of your glory and your inheritance for the saints, oh God. And we thank you. We thank you for your exceeding greatness right now that's operating through and about our lives. And Lord, we believe and trust and rely on you only in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't rely on our job or anyone else, but you, Father God, solely to do all things but fail. And we just want to say thank you. Heavenly Father, we believe that Jesus Christ is your son and that he died on the cross for our sins. And we believe that you
Heavenly Father, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he now sits at your right hand in heaven, according to Ephesians 1:17-23. And we thank you, Lord God. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, who represents your power and wisdom, to us right now, because we are in him, and we desire, Lord God, and desire to always abide in him. He has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. And we thank you, Lord. It is this reality right now that causes us to glory in your forever, God, according to 1 Corinthians 1:22-31, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, it's you that hit the Bible study and not ourselves, oh God. It is you that give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding what is being taught on tonight as we pull down strongholds, as we continue to study the series of pulling down strongholds, and that we'll be able to use that, knowing that we have the power and the authority that you have given us to pull down every stronghold, oh God, to bind every strong man that is affecting our life right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that is affecting our nation, our city, our community, our health, our strength, our peace, our finances, our work, our marriages, our children, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. And we all say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Once again,
amen.
Welcome you all to Bible study. Remember, during Bible study, your line is open so that we can correspond. Between all of us right now. So if you have any questions, mm-hmm. or any comments, you can always just say, Pastor, excuse me, I have a question, and I'll stop, and, mm-hmm. and we'll try to get your questions answered as best as we can, as best as I can. Normally, mm-hmm. my husband would be here, but he has to work, so he's having to rest. So we just pray his strength, and that God will continue to restore him. So we thank God once again. Mm-hmm. You all last. We're going to do a recap. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Somebody new is on the line. Maybe this is just a different number that you're calling from. Welcome. The last 4 digits of your phone number is 1925. Welcome.
Hey, that's me, Bonnie.
Oh, okay, Bonnie. Okay, that's, I figured that was you. I was like, maybe that's a house. All right. I'm just going to ask a few questions. You all, as we've been studying strongholds, I just kind of want to know how much have you gotten from this series of studying on strongholds. So I'm going to ask you, I'll just call your name. I know a lot of us have been here from the beginning since we started studying this series of pulling down strongholds, just to kind of see how much you notes you've taken, kind of where you at, have you started using that you've learned. You know, it's one thing to study it, but then how do you apply it? Are you applying what you've learned? Because I think that's what happened in church. Like, we go to church, we hear the pastor, we go to Sunday school, we go to Bible school, Bible study, and then we come out, but we never apply what we've learned or what we've heard. And either we didn't understand it, or we just didn't take the initiative to do so, and use that we've learned. So I just want to hear from y'all today, kind of where you are, since we studied so far. We've learned a lot. We've taken a lot of notes. On how to, bind the strong man, and talk about how is it affecting you. Did you realize, were you able to see how the enemy was operating and how the enemy was trying to use you or use others in these situations? So I want to kind of hear from you. Who want to go first?
Ms. Angela.
Okay, Angela, go ahead.
The 7 pieces of spiritual warfare.
Uh-huh.
You want me to name them?
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. It's, number one is the belt of truth, the breastplate, the preparation of gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, and all prayer.
Amen, amen. So have you had an opportunity to actually apply this to your life?
Yes,
amen. And once you were applying, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, so the question is, if you had an opportunity to apply these, to apply to your life, and then when you did you see the outcome? What was your outcome when you realized, I have this power and authority? I know how to put on the full armor of God and to operate in the full armor of God and making sure that I'm in that place of operating and covering myself and putting on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and sandals of preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and using the sword of the spirit and then in all prayer, which is our prayer and supplication.
Yes, I did. I used all of those, and the outcome was like what I had on yesterday when I had to put the sword of spirit on. I had to put my mind on focus, the belt of truth, the breath, the plate. I'm sorry, when I used those, it had a better outcome for my life. Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. And you all, anytime that y'all need, you know, reinforcement, or you need to go back over, you know, what we said, because we want to make sure that we are getting it. We're not just going through it just to be going through it. We're going through it so that now we know how to apply and use these things. It's for life application to help us in this walk of life, you know, to really, you know, keep us strengthened. And, you know, God gives us everything that we need. And I was telling someone the other day, you know, we do what we can humanly possibly do, and then God comes in and he steps in and does the impossible. So if you say, you do what you do, and God going to do the rest, and what that means is that you do what is within your ability. You know, we have human ability, then you have, which is the natural, then you have the supernatural. So God steps in and he does the impossible. They're operating in the supernatural, beyond what the natural body can do. Amen. And so I don't want to rush through anything, you know, even the Bible study, just to get to the next part if we haven't received it, if we don't understand it. So it's about us understanding what we're learning and then applying all that we have learned, that life application, and say, okay, that worked. That's kind of like if you get a cream and you use that cream for your face and you use it daily, you know, daily, and you know you want to see the results of it. You don't use it one day when it tells you, okay, it's going to be 30 days or 60 days when you see the result. So you continue to use it, you know, every day and apply it. So you want to apply that cream, you want to apply it each and every day. And now that you're applying it, because it requires something for you to do, there's an action now. You have the instructions, you have what you need, you have the cream, and I'm just giving an example. And now you're applying it. You say apply it at night, and, you know, apply it in before you go to bed. Now you're applying it. Now you see that it's working. You know, before you heard about it, you saw it, you bought it, but you never used it. You know, you read the directions, but you never used it. You know, so now that you're using it, then you see, oh, it works. Then you continue to use it. You know, you continue to use it, and then you see real results. You know, you see the benefits of it. You see the good results of it. Are y'all following me? Am I talking too fast?
No, you're fine.
No, you're not. Can you hear me? I'm putting it on mute because I have some, let me say this, which is kind of stronghold blocking me right about now. So I'm going to be on mute off and on with you. All right.
Okay. So since you're talking now, tell us what you've learned so far, have you had opportunity to apply, you know, what you've learned in Bible study as we've been going over the series of pulling down strongholds.
Me?
Yeah, you, Mama.
Oh, the stronghold. Oh, yeah, stronghold stuff. And as we're learning to use the weapons that we are equipped with by the Word. The stronghold was like for me, sickness and how the worry and the mind come and take over and pushing me back and forward. And I have to pray and pray them strongholds out, the doubt, the worry, the fear. So I have to keep praying it and praying it to get them strongholds off of me. So those are some right there for me, the strongholds. Yes, divine them off of me. Conversation with people. Don't want the conversation, the gospel with folks. Some people just don't understand. Once you're like, I don't want a gospel, so I'm going to let you go for a little bit. Let me get myself together. And then when I come around, I'm able to talk to you without gospeling. Like, let's pray for that person.
The strongholds
are get you. You got to pray it up. You got to keep focused like a horse. Them the things you put on the side of their face to keep you from looking around. That's what we got to have sometimes.
Beating their mouth and brittle.
Then once we really can operate them a stronghold good without that, then we're able to take them out. And we withstand anything that comes our way.
Amen. Yeah, you got a lot of everything, God. That's important that we're getting, you know, we're getting something from the study, and we're not just here, you know, we're actually getting something, we're applying it. Miss Connie, what about you?
Yeah, Sister Carol, she was, she kind of hit most of my points also.
But one of the main things, though, I have a better attitude, and that was
Amen.
One of my strongholds. And I noticed too with the person that was giving me the grief about my being on the line so much and praying so much and always had so much negativity things to say, and then I had attitude, and then I took a step back and prayed about it, and they came around. They actually came and said, "Isn't it time for your prayer?" I said, "Almost." And any other time, it was like an issue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're trying to help me remember. I says, "No, I have my clock set. I'm good." And I was so surprised because I didn't expect that so soon. You know, I thought it would take some more time, and it didn't take a whole lot of time. So yeah, I'm good.
Amen. We thank God. And cousin Martin, I noticed you've probably only been in a few times. I'm not sure what you picked up on the times that you've been in.
Something like dealing with devils, you know, the new level of dealing with the devil. Everything can be going okay in your life, and all of a sudden the other day it popped up. So I was able to work through that. And with our prayers, praying, and handling it in a different way, it worked out well with your teaching.
Amen. Thank God. And I just want to reiterate you all, because understand the powerful weapons we have to defeat the strong man. And I was talking to my mother earlier, and you know, binding and loosing. Oh, she hollering at the kids. Binding and loosing. Binding and loosing that thing, and understanding what it is to bind and to loose it. You know, you have the authority to bind and loose anything that's going on, binding the sickness and loosening and sending it. You know, don't just bind it, don't loose it. So you bind it, and then you release it to where Jesus Christ needs it, but you get it away from you. And then coming into agreement, I told my mom, you know, the Bible says, well, there are two or more gathered in the same name, he says, in the Bible, there I am in the midst, Matthew 8:19. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So, you know, making sure you have someone that you can touch and agree with, that you can come into agreement and pray with. The Bible tells us the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So agreement, the devil wants to keep us divided, that we don't come together, because there's power in numbers. It opens up, you know, that opens up the windows of heaven. It opens up heaven, so that our prayers will go through. Amen. And then thanksgiving, you know, and making sure we use it in praising God, thanking God, and decreeing, declaring over your life, proclamation, you know, what God has done and who you are. And I'm not weak. I am strong in the Lord, you know, and I am of the righteousness of God. I am blessed, and I can never be cursed. I'm a saint of God. I'm redeemed. You know, just decreeing and declaring all that God has done, you know, over your life's already done. So decree and declare that you're washed in the blood, delivered, sanctified, justified by the blood. So I just wanted to make sure, and the reason why I did that today, because I just don't want to continue to go, and nobody's getting anything. I want to make sure that we're getting something from the study, and if it's something that we need to go over, then let's go over it, and not just continue to move on just for the sake of moving on, okay? And so, but it sounds like everybody is getting something out of the Bible study, which is the most important thing to me and my husband, is that, you know, people are getting something out of it, and that you can tell somebody else, you know, what God has done for you, and then share with them what you've learned, you know, in Bible study. It's not just for you to keep it to yourself, but it's for you to share with other people. Guess what? I realize with some strongholds, this works for me. Go to this scripture. I had to do this. I had to bind it. What do you mean by binding? Well, binding is this, loosening is this, you know, and taking a note. And if you need me, like I said, if you miss anything in Bible study, you can always go back to the archive Bible studies here on the Blog Talk Radio show. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/thepreacherandthepastor. And you just click on the Bible study, and it will go over the whole Bible study again. So if you missed anything, you can get it. You know, you can go back and get it again. And so at your own pace, you know. So So we thank God once again, once again. So last week, you all, we're going to do a recap. We were talking about high places and the offense of high places and kind of, you know, what happened and how they were worshiping in high places. They were often sacrificing in high places. We were in the book of Mark as well. I'm looking at the book of Mark 12 and 38, Mark 12 and 30. The Bible said, what was Jesus' answer at the time? Teacher, what is the greatest of all the commandments? He was asking. I'm just doing a recap from last week. And what Jesus answered was, you shall love the Lord your God. Know carefully what follows with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, with all of your strength. So if somebody asks you, you know, what is the greatest commandment? He was asked, teacher, which is the greatest of all commandments? You would tell them to love. Mm-hmm. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. That's in Mark 12 and 3, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. I said 12 and 3, Mark 12 and 30. Mark 12 and 30. Yes, amen. Okay, let me answer. Jesus was asked the question. He asked, teacher, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. So all that you have, and that's in Mark 12 and 30. So we must not forget that the mind, as well as the heart, soul, and strength, is vital to loving the Lord. So I stress this point because of our experience as being a pastor and being an associate pastor and traveling, you know, even to Africa and preaching in the, you know, villages and different places, why that's so important. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm just kind of going over last week also as we're studying the issue of high places, you know, understanding and preparing our mind, because a lot of times we don't understand, you know, the high places. We don't know how that applies to us. And as we continue on in our studies, you'll understand more and more how they continue to, you know, sacrifice and worship in high places. When they were told not to, they continued to do it anyways. Even the several kings that came, they continued to do. They never took it down. They never stopped going and worshiping in different in high places. So we're talking about that. So, and I'm just like I said, I'm recapping the place of true worship. We talked about that last week. When Israel entered the land that God had promised them, it was occupied by the Canaanites. We talked about that. And these Canaanites were wicked people, and the essence of their wickedness was their worship of idols. So we believe it. You know, idolatry is the greatest of all sins and the most disastrous in its consequence. So to commit idolatry is to break the first commandment in Exodus 23, that you shall have no other gods before me. So in the Canaanite culture, the idol worship was marked. It was one of their practices, you know, continued practices, including the sacrifice of infant children in ovens to a god named Molech. Molech, we talked about that last week. So the Canaanites, they normally carried out those practices on what were called high places. So high places were mountains or hills that stood about the surrounding country. So in most cases, tall, impressive trees grew on these hills, and that is why you find phrases like this. This one repeated again and again in the historical and prophetic books of the Old Testament, on the high mountains and on hills and under every green tree. You see that, and as well we see in, you know, different phrases. We look in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2. Those phrases are always associated with the abomination of idolatry. So we talked about that last week. Again, if you're just now getting in the Bible study, we're just recapping from last Wednesday when we were talking about high places, the place of true worship, and ignoring God's warning. You all, the core purpose of a high place was to be a location for worship and deity. So God had clearly warned the children of Israel about the high places before they went into the promised land. So we see the clear warning in the book of Deuteronomy, where God told them, in effect, that when you go into the land, I don't want you doing what the Canaanites have done. So I have a different plan for you. This is what God told the Israelites. I am pointing to one place in a certain city where you can worship me and where you can offer your sacrifices. I don't want you to worship me in any other place. So God's warning to Israel about not using the high places was clear and emphatic, you know, you all, but they still ignored it. So, and we'll see this here. He said to the Israelites through Moses, you all, and we were, and that's in the book of Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 6. I won't go through the whole thing. You can go back and look at it. I'm just doing a recap. And was I told him not to worship in these high places. So ultimately God was saying, I am going to choose one place where I will put my name and where I will have my dwelling. That will be the only place I will permit you to offer sacrifice and to worship me. So we talked about that last week, but yet and still they did not abide the place where God's name will abide. We talked about that last week. And you know, God gave them specific instructions, but they were still obedient. They were obedient. So we talked about the place where God's name abides. So it would be some time before it became clear to them that Jerusalem was the place of God's sanctuary, referred to in the verse up in Deuteronomy 12, 1 and 6, you all. So many people don't realize it, but this is why the Jews worship at the western wall of the particular place today. So that is as near as they can come to the site because it is now occupied by a Muslim mosque. So we talked about that last week. The Jews are perfectly clear in their conviction that there is no other location where they can offer sacrifices. But consequently, in their thinking, their whole future centers on regaining possession of their place because until they do, they cannot really offer sacrifices. So while you may find it hard to understand the mindset, this mindset is a very controversial issue right now in the Middle East. So it is the focal point of the clash between Muslims and Jews, and it demonstrates to us that God's word is still remarkable and relevant today. So, y'all, we just gonna go forward here, and I was just doing a recap, you all, on last Wednesday, and we're gonna go forward here and pulling down strongholds, and we're talking about the source now, the source of continual conflict, the source of continual conflict. If you wanna write that down, I'll give you time to write it down. A source of continual conflict. Again, if you missed last Wednesday Bible study, any previous Bible studies on pulling down strongholds, you can go back and you can listen to those Bible study lessons at blogtalkradio.com/thepreacherandthepastor show. That way you can be caught up and kind of see where we are. All right, y'all. So we're talking about now a source of continual conflict. So the history of Israel, you all, from the establishment of the monarchy until the Babylonian captivity, is marked by continual conflict regarding the high places. So the Israelites constantly struggle between obeying God by worshiping him in the appointed place and disobeying him by going back to the high places. So in 1 Kings 3, we get an interesting glimpse of this struggle. So although what we are examining took place in the history of Israel 3,000 years ago, it has a very important application for you and me today. So let us begin to lay the basis for this application by reading this scripture here. You are going to be coming out the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, 1 and 2. The Bible says, now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then, you all, the Bible says, he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And that scripture is coming out of 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 through 2 verses. So at this point, the people were sacrificing to the Lord. They were not sacrificing to idols, yet they were sacrificing on the high places because the temple in Jerusalem where God was going to put his name was not yet complete. And as we know that Solomon, which is David's son, he built the temple. He built the temple of God. He actually built the temple, you all, but it hadn't been built yet. So let's talk about Solomon's weakness, y'all, because he had a weakness, and this was his downfall, though he built the temple. So continuing in this passage from 1 Kings 3, you all, we find a comparison between Solomon and David that speaks volumes. Right now, you all, we're in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and Solomon love the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. So here we see a significant difference between David and Solomon. David never worshiped, King David, y'all, he never worshiped at the high places. Solomon did, which is his son. If you know the story, if you don't know the story, Solomon is David's son, King David's son. So in a certain sense, that was the weakness that ultimately led to Solomon's downfall, you all. So, but by contrast, let's look at an account in 2 Chronicles, you all, chapter 1, verse 3, of something that took place before the temple was built when Solomon was made king. The Bible says that then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tabernacle of meeting with God was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. So notice that in the very next verse, the Bible makes the very important distinction that Gibeon was not Jerusalem. We're looking at 2 Chronicles 1 and 4. Now you are going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 4. But David had brought up the Ark of God from Kirjath and Jerim to the place David had prepared for it, for he pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. So David had grasped the fact that God wanted Jerusalem to be the place of worship. David did not take the ark to Gibeon. He took it to the place he had prepared for it in Jerusalem. So 2 Samuel describes David bringing the ark back to Israel after it had been recovered from the Philistines, you all. So when we look here, you all, as we go into 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. I'll slow down a little bit here so you can catch up if you're writing it down. Mm-hmm. Again, that's 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, you all. Okay. So the Bible says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord, which shouted in with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And that was a mistake on her part. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it, not the tabernacle of Moses. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So again, David understood the absolute importance of worshiping in the place of the Lord's appointment, which is Jerusalem, the city of David. So though the tabernacle of Moses was in Gibeon and the temple had not yet been built, David, being a man after God's own heart, as we see in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, and Acts 13, 2, it said that this place, Jerusalem, is the place where I am going to worship God. So please stay mentally engaged, you all, in the issues that we are covering here, because they will have specific application to our lives in the next section here just ahead as we're studying the series, including our strongholds and understanding the high places that we're talking about, our high places now. So we're going to talk about missing the target, you know, how we can miss the target when we think we're right there, we're studying the word and we're doing this, but we're not doing everything. We haven't completely, you know, allowed God to lead us and have complete control, because we still want to do things our way. Sometimes we're doing 80%, and 80% is not good. We got to do 100% of what God is telling us to do. If God say worship here, but you saying I'm worshiping, but I'm over here. If God say set a time, but you say, well, I'm still praying, but God say be there at 6, but you want to do it, okay, when I get up at 10 or 10:30, you know, it's all about, you know, doing what God has called us to do and not doing it how we want to do it, what we said, but we're still doing it. You know, okay, I know you said 8, but I still did it. Does it matter as long as I'm doing it? Yes, it does matter. That's how we miss the target. So we're going to talk about missing the target here. So certainly David's son, Solomon, as we're talking about, Solomon is the son of David. We know David is King David. He was anointed to king. He took over king from King Saul was in position. And so because King Saul was obedient, God anointed David. And we know him to be the man after God's own heart, as we know about David, King David. So certainly David's son Solomon followed him, and much of what he had, but Solomon departed from David in this one respect until the temple was built. He worshiped in high places. So you will find that later on in Solomon's experience, this seemingly minor discrepancy became a disease. So when you begin to depart a little from God's path, you will get farther and farther away from his ways, and the longer you go in that direction. So in 1 Kings chapter 11, you all, verse 7, we're going to come out of 1 Kings chapter 11. We're going to read how this process unfolded in Solomon's life. In chapter 7, the Bible says, "And Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and for Molech, and the abomination of the people of Ammon." So 1 Kings 11:8 tells us that Solomon built a high place for each of his foreign wives too. We look at verse 8, he built high places for each of his foreign wives. So he had foreign wives, and he was told not to marry outside, but he did anyway. And so he built them a place, a high place for them to worship their foreign gods and their pagan idols. And as we read further here in 1 Kings, going to verse 9 and 10, still in chapter 11, "So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded." So I trust you can see by now that this issue of high places is of tremendous importance in the sight of God. So in chapter 11 here, we will, you all continue here in this particular chapter in 1 Kings chapter 11. We will cover more of the history of the Israel kings in relation to this issue, and then we will make some striking applications here. Amen. Anybody have any questions here? I want to just keep going on and going. Anybody has any questions? Is everybody okay? Everybody hear me? Am I moving at a good pace for you?
Oh, yes. You are.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. So as we're talking about here, the tragic patterns, and we got a little bit over last week as well, just kind of went over it again. My memory and everybody else is kind of going back over it and seeing where do we know, how do we fall short. So we're talking about the pattern. A lot of times we get into a pattern of doing things, and it's hard to break the pattern, you know. And so we're going to talk about the tragic patterns. You know, we are a way of doing things, and it's tragic. There's a tragic end to the way that we're going, the way that we're operating, it's become a pattern. So if you were, if you want to understand right here, we're going to continue on and understand the entire history of the kings of Israel. You will find it to be very wearisome and repetition, in which the nation kept going back to the wrong practices of the Canaanites. So as we briefly examine the history right now, the Israelites are completely given in to the false spiritual practices. Let's keep in mind one burning question, y'all. Is our nation falling prey to the same tendencies today? Are we right now? We in a time of voting, you know, we're voting, so it's now to vote for a president, and everybody's getting out, and either we tell us to get out there and vote. It's important. Your vote is important. We have to ask ourselves, though, know, is our nation falling prey to the same tendencies? We're talking about tragic patterns. So after Solomon's reign, the kingdom of Israel became a divided monarchy. So Jeroboam, you all, ruled the northern kingdom called Israel. So while Rehoboam, you all, ruled the southern kingdom called Judah, both kings returned to the high places. As we can see here, they returned back to the high places. So in 1 Kings chapter 12, we read about King Jeroboam's disobedience. So Jeroboam made, we look in 1 Kings, you all, chapter 12, verse 31, it reads, "Jeroboam made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi." So Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the high places and appointed false priests. So he appointed false priests, you all. So that is the historical record here. So in 1 Kings chapter 14, it'll tell us, you all, that Rehoboam, you all, so you got Jeroboam and then you got Rehoboam. So you can understand this. We're talking about two different people here. Who was Solomon's son? He also worshipped at the high places. So Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and I'm in 1 Kings chapter 14. You are chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. So now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. So I'm going to ask you all this question. Are you beginning to see the repeated refrain here? You know, we're talking about the tragic patterns. So are you beginning to see the repeated refrain here? The same pattern continues on and on and over. You know, you all heard about generational curses, how one thing is passed down to the next, passed down to the next, and it just continues. And there's a tragic pattern, and it begins to not just affect you, but affect others that are in line, affecting generation to generation, affecting a whole group of people or nation. So I hope you all can see here, start to see the repeated refrain as we're studying here, the tragic pattern. So we're still talking about pulling down strongholds here. So if he did right here where we at. He did what was right, but what is the but? God raised up a son to Rehoboam named Asa, A-S-A, y'all. He was a righteous king. So we'll go ahead and read about him in 1 Kings, coming up here in the next chapter, 1 Kings, you all. 1 Kings, chapter 15, verse 9 and 11 to 12 reads, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David, and he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So you see here, he did completely what God told him wholly. So, but King Asa also missed the mark, you all. He removed the people, banished the perverted person from the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. But King Asa also missed the mark. So as we read here in verse 14, you all, but the high places were not removed. So he removed the people, but the high places were not removed. So Asa made good progress with his reform, but he couldn't complete them. He restored the worship of the true God, but he did not restore the right place of worship. Instead, he kept the high places. So here again is essentially the refrain that runs through 1 Kings and 2 Kings. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but the high places were not taken away. The next king after Asa was Jehoshaphat, you all, and he also was a righteous king. He put away all idolatry, and he restored the true worship of Jehovah, but the high places were not taken away. They were not taken away. So after Jehoshaphat came Amaziah, and who was restored the true worship of Jehovah, but the high places were not taken away. Jehoash came, became king, and when he was 7 years old, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but the high places were not taken away. So after Jehoash came Azariah, also called, let me see if I can see it right, you all. So you're going to tell me. Azariah, U-Z-Z-I-A-H. He maintained the true worship of Jehovah, but the high places were not taken away. So after Azariah came, Jotham came, but who also maintained the true worship of Jehovah, but the high places were not taken away. So under the leadership of these kings, Israel had a mixture of true and false. So one after another, those six kings initiated the reforms, but they went only so far. They banished idolatry, but they did not banish the use of the places where the false gods and idols had been worshipped. And God records of every one of them that he did not take away the high places. So God records this of every one of them that did not take away the high places, you all. So as I mentioned previously, they were worshiping the true God, unlike those who had gone into idolatry, but they were worshiping the true God in geographical areas that had been consecrated to the worship of idols. So what these kings accomplished was a kind of partial reform, you all. They got rid of the idols, but they did not get rid of the false basis of worship. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you have a problem, but if you don't deal with the root of it, you're still going to have that problem, still going to arise until you deal with the root. You know, it's one thing to be treated, it's one thing to be cured. They can treat you, but what is the cure for it? And the cure is to deal with the root of it. So after these six kings, Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hashab and Amaziah, Azariah and Jotham came, and Ahaz, who bypassed partial reform, went back to abject idolatry. So the Bible describes Ahaz as a singularly wicked king, you all. And we see this, you all, in the book of 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3 through 4. Again, you can write that down. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3 through 4. And the Bible reads, "But Ahaz walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Indeed, he made his sons pass through the fire, offered his sons as a living sacrifice in an oven, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree." So when you don't deal with the root, and you don't uproot that root, and you're just dealing with what's on top, you know, that thing can still come up. It can still break through again and cause more pain and more problems to all to come. So let's talk about next, God's measurement. You are God's measurement. Let's talk about that. What does that mean? So here, the repetition. You are the repetition here. The repetition of Israel's turning away from God and then not fully obeying him when they did return to him, maybe be a little wearisome, but it is pounding into our minds and pounding in our minds right now, recognition of the truth. So many truths, you all, in the Bible are presented in simple categorical statements. Yet sometimes truth in the Bible is revealed in patterns that are continuously repeated. And God leads us to discover an important lesson from these patterns. The northern king of Israel eventually went into captivity under the Assyrians. In chapter 17, we see this in 2 Kings. It sums up all the sins that caused the northern kingdom to go into exile. So let's read a portion of what the Bible says about the situation. We're going to come out of 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 9 through 11. The Bible says, "Also the children of Israel, the northern kingdom, secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtowers to fortified cities. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill, under every green tree. They burn incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger." So we can plainly see that a major issue of contention between God and his people was the high places. So in fact, the life and reign of every king was ruled over his people was measured in regard to what he did about the high places. And we're going to talk about the two righteous kings, you all, two righteous kings here. So quite near the end of the history of Judah, the southern king, there were two kings who did what God had been waiting for. So God is waiting for someone. He's waiting for someone like you and me to do all that God has called us to do, to command us to do, not to partially do it, not to halfway do it, but to do it and completely 100%, not 99.9, but 100%. So Hezekiah and Josiah were outstandingly righteous kings, you all. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 3, "And Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." So I'll repeat that. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3. "And Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." So you will remember that David never went to the high places, you all. Remember that David never went to the high places. Yet all of his descendants had failed to follow his example up to that point. So when we look at 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4 through 5, "Hezekiah removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan, you all, Nehushtan. And this is in Scripture, so you can find this in Scripture. I'm reading from Scripture. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor whoever before him. And that again is 2 Kings, you all, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4 through 5. So, what was the distinguished feature of Hezekiah's reign, you all? And I'll explain it to you. What earned him the particular commendation, you all, commendation here in Scripture, is he thoroughly dealt with the high places. He thoroughly dealt with the high places, as we can see. Surprisingly, Hezekiah experienced a disaster in regards to his son Manasseh, who was perhaps the most wicked of all the kings of Judah. You might remember incident that Hezekiah had his own life miraculously prolonged 15 years. If you know the Bible, his life was prolonged for 15 years. So God extended his life in answer to his prayers when he was deathly ill. We see that in 2 Kings. If you don't know, you can go back and read that in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 11, where God extended his life when he was on his deathbed. He was on his sickbed, and he was on days from dying. So when he died, his son Manasseh was 12 years old. So Manasseh was born during those extra 15 years. So if Hezekiah, think about, if Hezekiah had not lived that extra time, he would not have produced wicked Manasseh. So that fact teaches us that if God gives us extra time, we had better be careful what we do with it. And I sometimes wonder if Hezekiah, in hindsight, would have changed his mind had he been given the choice again, knowing what Manasseh, his son, would do. Would he have asked for those 15 years? So let's look very briefly, you all, what the Bible says about Manasseh, which is his son, in 2 Kings, you all, chapter 21, verse 3. 2 Kings, you can write that down if you want to go back to it. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 3, the Bible says, he built the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. He raised up altars from Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served them. So the Bible says that of all the kings of Judah, you all, there was none as wicked as Manasseh. And that's in 2 Kings 21, verse 2 through 16. And yet, amazingly enough, in 2 Chronicles, you all, looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 10 through 19, we learned that he repented. He repented. We learned that he repented. And God pardoned him. You know, God forgave him. So there it is in history, y'all. He was the most wicked king, and yet repentance brought him to pardon from God. So repentance, you all, you know, understand we must repent. We've been called to repent. So repentance brought him pardon from God. So let us now review the life of the second righteous king. Right now, we're going to review King Josiah did what God wanted. So we look in 2 Kings, y'all. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 23. And I'm going to wrap up here and see if you all have any questions. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 5, 8, and 13, you all. The Bible says, then Josiah removed the idolatrous priests who the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah. He brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem. Okay, so obviously, you all, Josiah conducted a war against the high places. And continuing here, you all, reading in verse 15, 23, chapter 23, still in 2 Kings, verse 15, it says, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israelite sin, had made both the altar and the high place. He broke down and he burnt the high place and crushed it to powder and burnt the wooden image. So do you see what distinguished Josiah, setting him apart as a particularly righteous king? He dealt with the high places, you all. Even though the majority of the kings of Judah worshiped the true God, they did not do away with the idolatrous sites of worship. So they permitted the people to worship the true God, but on the wrong basis and in the wrong places. Do any of y'all have any questions as we are talking about the high places today? Do you all understand the lesson and understanding how we can get caught up in patterns, how we can think that we're doing, you know, what God wants us to do, but we know it's just that one thing. We're not willing to let go completely. We still want to try to hold on to it. And in our hearts saying, well, that's okay. I'm doing this. I'm praying. I read my Bible, but it's okay for me to do this. But God is telling you exactly, giving you specific instruction. You know, are you understanding as we're talking about pulling down strongholds up at the same time in these high places and how that all ties up and how important that is? Does anybody have any questions? Mine is open, so if you have any questions, you can do so. You can ask any questions at this time.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Come again? Do you have any questions? Anyone have any questions?
Okay, thanks.
You can take your phone off mute. I know we have our phones on mute because the lines are open. Do you have any questions? I'd be happy to answer any questions about, you know, what we just went over here. And if you have an understanding, I mean, let us hear from you. Everybody good?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Bible study, so you know we can ask questions and we can make comments. So I don't know about you all, you know, with some of us, we're at that point and we want God to change us, and God is saying, I'm giving you, you know, giving you divine instructions and directions on what to do, and you know what to do, but you're still in that place where you still want to do kind of what you want to do when you want to do it. So my suggestion to you all is God is calling you and giving you instructions, and He sent someone into your life, you know, man or woman of God, and is giving you those instructions. But yes, you want to do what you want to do. Understand, it's not just going to affect you. It's going to affect those that are attached to you. Because a lot of times we not think about, okay, how is it going to not only affect me, but how will it affect my children's children's children, even after I leave here? You know, what we do now will affect those to come. And what God has us to do, we have some people's destiny in our hand because they're waiting for us to do it. You know, some of us will pave the way for others. And if we're not in line with what God has us to do completely, calling for instructions of what God has, you know, we're not laying the foundation down for our children or people to come that we don't even know. Amen? Does anybody have any questions?
Amen. I have to say something. One time I was told what I need to ask my kids for forgiveness for anything that I'd done, and I didn't do it like right at that time, but I did do it, but I didn't let that like they're doing in the Bible, going to different places, not building where the Lord say build that. That's what I did.
Yeah, because when you get that word and God tells you to do something and you want to do it, or fear come in, you can't allow that's a stronghold, that fear of what they're going to say, or I don't think I did it, you know, that rebellious spirit, that's a stronghold that needs to be brought down, and so you can overcome that, because then you stay in that place where God can't do what He want to do for you, because you figure like, okay, I'm going to do what I want to, but if it's a go right now, go. And I remember when that word came forward, and I was like, because what's going to happen, Mama, you're going to get sick, and this time I'm not going to be able to pray you out of that, and God is telling me to tell you right now, and you had to do it. It wasn't, no, I'm going to do it when I get ready, or I'm going to wait for them to call me, and, you know, but God's saying for you to do it, even if you didn't do anything, but it was something for you to do, like, if I have something to do, I have to do it, you know, understanding that whether it may not feel good, it may be uncomfortable, and, you know, it's to bring you out, you know, so God can work those things, because a lot of times, even if we're not going through anything at that particular time, and well, I'm fine right now, ain't nothing hurt me, or we just don't believe it, we have to come against that. That's a stronghold, that spirit of unbelief, like, oh, ain't nothing happening right now, so I'll do it when I get ready, when I find time to do it. So whenever you get instructions, especially when God sent a prophet or prophets in your life and give you a word, believe it and take it and go, because God speaks to His prophets. He speaks to them. The Bible says He speaks to His prophets first. He gives us the word first. And so, and that's an example right there. And just being honest, like you're saying, hey, I got the word, but I didn't do it like when I was told to do it. I did it when I wanted to. Then I have did it. Come again. and then how did you do it? Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, I'm sorry. Did I do anything for you? You know, did I do anything to you? Yeah, if I did, I'm sorry. You know, just being sincere from your heart.
From your heart, did I do anything wrong? Bring you up or apologize.
Yeah, and then not getting offensive, you know, not getting offensive because that's a stronghold. Being able to receive what they're saying and say, you know what, I truly, you know, apologize. I didn't know that. And if I did, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you for forgiveness if I did. If I didn't, you know, I thank God that if I did. Because I'm telling you something, you can be, you can, as a parent, you can think you can do all you can for that child, and that child can still come back and say, you didn't do nothing for me. Or they can feel some type of way. Or we can do things thinking we're doing everything right. And to find out, we, you know, you just never, never know. We can say something that can really tarnish, you know, that person or hurt that person in the long run, and it can affect them to this day. They could be 50, 60 years old, but something that their mama said or daddy said or didn't do or did do really affect them. And just to go and say, you know what, I'm sorry, putting pride to the side, putting all that to the side, just saying, you know what, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. If I did that, I'm sorry, you know, because God has given you the words to go and to go forward. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else have anything they want to say?
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else have anything they want to say or comment? Amen. And even if you know yourself, I need to make amends. I need to go and ask for forgiveness from this person. I need to, you know what? Yeah. I know that. Because God will speak to you. It's that, it's the small voice, it's inner voice, that inner voice that speaks, that says, daughter, son, you need to go apologize. You need to mend this. You need to reconcile with your brother and sister. You know, this is what you need to do. Not saying you got to be around them and do all this stuff and bend over backwards, but be reconciled so they know everything is okay with us. I'm praying for you, sister. I'm praying for you, brother. I love you. And I wish nothing for the, you know, the best for you. You know, those things. And, you know, we're breaking those strongholds and, you know, those strong men that has a hold on us. For moving forward and receiving all that God has for us, our healing, our deliverance, our peace, our joy, whatever it is, our spouse, or whatever it is. Amen. Anyone else have any questions while we wrap up here?
If nobody else wants to say nothing, I got something to say.
Go ahead.
That's wait a minute. I was in Walmart and getting Corey something to eat. So they didn't have the little, what's what they have? They didn't have fruit snack or the Joker and stuff. So she gonna give us two French fries. I'm like, why are you giving us two French fries? But make a long story short, I was telling the girl that I wanted, I was gonna say, hey, I say, say, can you? And all of a sudden she said, well, this is what we gonna give you, the toy. I said, I wasn't finna ask you that. I said, you're getting an attitude. So that made me kind of snap. I was going to ask you, can you put the French fries, the extra fries, in a different bag? I said, I apologize for snapping at you, but you are snapping. So I apologize for doing that to you. I know I had to change it because I snapped and turned around and apologized for what I said. So didn't let that stronghold hold me for not apologizing to the little girl because she probably was having a bad day too. So.
Yeah.
That's what I
had. Hey, trust me, we all have it. I'll be in my word, in my study, and sometimes like, look. I remember one time my husband told me, he said, you didn't have to say it like that. I was like, no, because she did this and I didn't tell her to do that. I asked her with a firm voice, now why would you do something like that? I didn't ask you that. So why would you, you know, just like that. And my husband was like, that was too rough. Like, how was that rough? I was just being, you know, I guess he said, I could have said it better. I didn't have to be so stern. But I wanted her to know I was serious. I didn't have an attitude, but I need you to understand. I didn't ask you for that. You know, and so she said, you know, I could have been, ain't no telling what was going on, but we have to, you know, check ourselves and say, hey, I could have did that better than that. I could have said that better, you know, operating in gentleness and meekness. So, but, you know, knowing that we check ourselves and say, hey, you didn't have to do it like that. You didn't have to say it like that. Are you operating in anger? Are you operating, you know, what spirit are you operating in? And call that spirit off the devil. No, I see what you're trying to do. So, amen. And again, you all, when we get Christ, we get change. You know, change comes. It ain't like, oh, I'm not saved because, you know, I got upset, or that doesn't take us out of place of being saved. It just allows the enemy to come in and operate. You know, that opens up avenues and cracks for the enemy to come in and start operating in our life, which will keep us in a place of sickness. It will keep us in a place of lack. It will keep us in a place of not coming out. So that's what that does. But it doesn't stop us from being saved. Once you're saved. Only you can stop yourself when you stop believing. It's all based on your belief. And when you believe, you receive. Receive Christ and receive change. Will it happen overnight? No, not for all of us. Every day is a work. We're working on our salvation. We're working it out each day. You know, a good fight of faith. You know, that good fight of faith.
So amen, amen. You all, nobody else has any questions. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap up our Bible study here Wednesday. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope it was knowledgeable to you. I hope your Cousin Bunny and Cousin Angela and Sharon and Sister Connie and everyone else, I hope you all got something from it. And just, you know, right now I take minimals because I will ask, hey, what are y'all getting? Because I don't want to continue to just go, 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 and we're not getting anything and we're not applying what we're learning. That's so important. Like I stated earlier, we just, you know, we go to church and we hear the pastor, you know, we'll go to the scripture, we'll highlight it, and we'll never apply it to our life. And it's all about life application. How do we apply the scripture? How does that apply to me? How does it work today for me? And that's what's important, so that we can come out, that we can be delivered and healed, and be healed, and we don't have to stay in those situations, and we don't have to fear. We don't have to operate in fear anymore and be afraid of the unknown and what's next, and, oh, my goodness, I'm afraid of what they're going to say or what the doctor going to say, what the doctor going to do. We can operate in peace that surpasses all understanding, and have that joy, that unspeakable joy. It's for us to have it. It's for you to have it. Amen. Hey, man, if anyone, no one else has any questions, it's Connie, Bonnie, Angela, Sharon, Mama, anybody else? Anybody has any questions or comments?
Amen.
All right. Remember, you all, tonight at midnight, we're still in our prayers, our intercessory prayers at midnight and midday. We have noon each and every day, the month of October. I'm going to be there. So I'm praying that you will be there with us. Don't let anything stop you from getting on that call. You don't realize how much you need it. You need to be on that call more than you need sleep. Trust me. God will restore you. Set your time. You know, go ahead and go to sleep after the call. Set your time and get on up at 12. I trust God to restore you any sleep that you may miss. God is a God of restoration. It's so important, you all, that we get on there for the month of October. If you can, then, you know, from the day forward, try not to miss either one, the midnight or midday. Just be on there and trust God to restore you, because God is doing a new thing, and receive it as breakthrough that is coming in your healing and deliverance, and just stay in that place right now. Amen. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you for everyone here in Bible study, Lord. I ask you to touch every heart and mind. I ask you, Father God, that you continue to bless us, guide us, and keep us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we bow and worship you right now. We come to you with praise and with thanksgiving. We come to you in humility, fear, and trembling. We come always seeking you first, your kingdom and all your righteousness, oh God. Excuse me. Oh, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We love you, Father God. Oh, Lord, we come through the precious blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We come against every strong man. We call every strong man spirit out, rejection, spirit of antichrist, spirit of error, spirit of seducing spirit of bondage, spirit of death. Excuse me, y'all. Spirit of divination, spirit of dumb and deaf, spirit of familiar, spirit of fear, spirit of pride, spirit of levity, spirit of heaviness, spirit of infirmity, spirit of jealousy, spirit of lying, spirit of perverse, spirit of hardiness. We rebuke you and we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's along with all works, roots, fruits, and tentacles, links, and there are in our presence, and anyone that we're around today, and anyone that we pray for today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything in our presence, or anybody in our organ, in every cell, every gland, every muscle, every ligament, every bone in our bodies, our houses, our cars, our vehicles, our buildings, our properties, our pets, and we loose you to go with Jesus Christ in you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ over us right now, each person that we pray for, all that's on the line, and that will be midnight tonight, over everything that we have and we will have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as our protection. And we thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to destroy any familiar spirits that has allowed any of these demonic strong men into our presence, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, according to your word in John 14:14. We declare right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that all your works, roots, tentacles, and links are now dead works in the name of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we thank you for it, Lord. We declare that your power over us is broken and destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to break all generation and word curses that we have placed on us, ourselves, or by others, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we ask you to loose each of us in the spirit of adoption in Romans 8:15, Lord God, according to your word, the spirit of truth, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of truth. We thank you, the spirit of resurrection and life, and life more abundantly, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and his gifts, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father God. Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill each of us with your precious Holy Spirit.
We ask you to fill each of us with all the fruits of your Holy Spirit, including your love, your joy, your peace, your gentleness, your goodness, your meekness, your faithfulness, and your self-control. Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus' holy name, we ask you to fill us and everyone we prayed for today with your Holy Ghost anointed and power, and cover us with your presence, your anointing, your power, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we bow and worship before you and praise your God. Glory, hallelujah to your name, God. And we'll apply the blood of Jesus Christ over us right now, and all that we're concerned about in love, and all that we studied on today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, Father God, from the tops of our heads to the soles of our feet, oh God, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ over the airways that surround us, over telephone lines, over our homes and properties, cars, businesses, finances, marriages, ministries, cell phone frequencies, and we apply the blood of Jesus Christ as our protection. And we ask you to render powerless and harmless and nullify the power, destroy the power, cancel the power of any evil spirit, demonic strongman, messenger of Satan, and times that come into our presence and everything in our homes, even our pets and our properties, everything in our cars, or anywhere that we may enter, our marriages, our finances, our ministries, our telephone lines, and cell phone frequencies, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us, Father God. Thank you for deliverance, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. God keep you. May God continue to strengthen you, continue to walk with you. May God be your strength in the name of Jesus Christ. May you continue to grow strong in Christ. I bless you to be a blessing to others. It's in Jesus' name. You all take care. Yes. I will be with y'all tonight. Those that will be on the line at 12 midnight, I'll see you then. God bless you. I love you all. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Just receive it. God bless y'all. Take care.
God bless y'all. Yes, will.
The glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear it say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, so you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like can you imagine. Living without all his grace. Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
Just for the love.
get back.